It's a great pleasure for me to be here today to present you this work I made in Bradford. And it's about human assignment of gray levels to iso-brightness and iso-colorfulness color pictures. And this work is a part of a broad project, the problem of conversion between color pictures to grayscale ones. And in our laboratory in Bradford, we use psychophysics to study how observers use simple color appearance dimension to make this conversion. And you can see this conversion as an aesthetic problem, but also a compressive process, as Graham was saying that this morning. And I will present you before previous experiments which have been done in the laboratory and brought us to do this new experiment. And before that, I would like just to introduce the notion of iso-brightness and iso-colorfulness colors. So, iso-brightness colors are colors which are on the plane of constant brightness, and iso-colorfulness colors are colors which are on the cylinder of constant colorfulness with a constant radius. And if you look for colors which are these two properties, you've got an intersection between this plane and this cylinder, and you've got a cycle, and every color which are on the perimeter of this cycle are iso-brightness and iso-colorfulness colors, IBC colors. And this kind of color appearance dimension are slightly different for every person. So in our experiment, we are taking in account these inter-individual differences. So we used two previous experiments which brought us to do this one. So first one has been made 2 years ago by Marina Block, David Connor, and Graham Finelson. And it was about human assignment.
Is it here? To switch off the light.
Yeah. Because it's really hard to make IBC colors on the screen, so usually it's like it's quite desaturated. So it was about human assignment of gray level to IBC color patches. So it was an experiment with simple stimuli. And the task was for observers is to adjust the gray level of patches, monochromatic patches, in a way to reproduce the visual difference which are on the reference color patches, which are here. And two main conclusions have been done here. First, it's people were doing quite the same thing, and so there was high agreement between observers. And it was quite easy doing multidimensional scaling to make a 1D plot which puts in relationship which is supposed to be hues and the luminance on the y-axis. But after that, the same authors work on a second experiment, this time with complex stimuli. It was human assignment of gray levels to color pictures. So it wasn't with IBC colors, but with complex stimuli. And they have to do exactly the same task on cartoon images, which could be abstract, like this one, or natural. You could recognize objects in the picture. And the main conclusion here that was that the luminance was the main factor. So the things that we want to see now, if how people can do the same task with IBC colors on a complex stimuli, so on an image. And we did a kind of mix with these two experiments. And for each observer, we were making a personal dictionary of IBC colors. And with these colors, we transformed cartoon images to make IBC images. And the observers will have to work on these images. So the observer is in front of two screens. One is a visual reference screen, and the other is just here to help the observer to do the task. So it's quite dark. The visual reference screen is like that. There is a monochromatic Mondrian background, and on it you have two pictures. One is a color reference picture, and the second one is a grayscale picture. And the observer will be able to select each area of this grayscale picture separately and change the luminance level of this picture with regard to the color reference. So with regard to the hue, because the only variable here is the hue. On the second screen on the left, it's just here to help the observer to do the task. So there is textual information and visual information, and to be sure that it will not influence the observer to do the task. The picture, which is the same as the visual screen reference, is made with false color. So the program works like that. You put on the program a color picture, which is much less desaturated than that on my screen, with normal colors, which can be every color you can find in the LCH space or LAB space, what you want. And the program looks at the personal dictionary of the observer and transforms this normal picture in an IBC color picture. And of course, the observer never sees the normal picture, he only sees the IBC color picture. And this picture can be natural. You can recognize objects in this image, like here you are supposed to recognize a girl with a balloon on the beach. And on the right, it's exactly the same image, but it has been abstracted. So each area has the same surface and the same colors, but a priori, you cannot recognize anything on the right. So we worked with, oh, it's a nightmare. Can you see something? No, nothing. It was really hard for the observers too, so it's okay. You are just liking the process. We worked with 7 night observers with normal color vision, and they had to transform 6 images, which could be so natural or abstract. So they had to transform 12 images one time, and to test the intra consistency, the repeatability of the process, for each observer, we were taking randomly one picture of each type, and they had to transform this image 3 times. So if you look now at the result, how the observers did the transformation, at the beginning, it's really hard to see a consistency between observers. They made something really different. And we had the same problem with the first experiment with normal pictures. And to simplify the process, we decide to not look at the luminance values, but how observers ranked the luminance of areas. So we look at the rank of luminance. If you look at
these 2 pictures here, the
luminance are quite different, but the ranking is quite the same in these 2 pictures. And to test this degree of agreement between observers, there is really efficient tools like the Kendall coefficient of correlation. And this non-parametric tool calculates the coefficient of agreement between observers. And this one is really useful because this one is normalized. It means that if you got 0, it means that nobody made the same thing at all. Everybody made something independently from each other. And if you got 1, it means that everybody made exactly the same thing. They ranked the luminance of the black and white picture as the same order from each other. But it gives you only a score. You cannot see really, you can see how they agreed or disagreed, but you cannot see how or where they disagreed. So for that, I decided to find a way to have a visual representation of what people did. For that, I make a hue circle, in which usually you can see on the hue circle every color of the dictionary of the observer with which I can make my picture. And if you look, for example, the sand, which here is the black, you can find the same color on the color circle. And I decide to take the rank of each black and white picture and put them on the radius which corresponds to the good hue. And here, the luminance of the sun is the highest luminance, so I have to plot the cross at the extremity of the line. But if my sun was the lowest luminance, I should put the cross near the center of the cycle. And I can do that for all my areas. And here, for one observer, I've got a way for one image on one observer. I've got a draw of what he did with regard to the color reference. And I can do that for all my observers. And here, I've got a good visualization of what people did. And I can see now, if I have to calculate my W, that it will be very weak because there is no superposition at all between the different draws. This is why I decide now, so it's the 2nd step, to optimize my W calculation. And for that, I say that I don't want to look now at a rung for a unique hue, but I want to look at the shape of each rung. So I don't look the absolute position of the of hues, but I look at their relationship with each other. And this is an equivalency by rotation. If you look at this hypothetical simple image, you've got two different rankings, two different draws. But if I rotate the green draw here, there is a perfect superposition. So this is the same shape, and I decide to put that in the calculation of my W. And there is a second equivalency, which came from my pilot study with observers from the laboratory. Not my naive observers, but observers like me and Marina and other people. And because we are looking at the way the draw, we realize that people could take this row in two orientations. So they could make they could take this way in a clockwise orientation or anti-clockwise orientation, because it's all about relationship between hues. And I decide to put also this optimization in the calculation of my W. And if you look at the visualization of that, you can see here that before the optimization, after, I only put this optimization in my calculation, and there is a better superposition between each draw. And I show you here the results. So this is for all my images, my W without optimization, and it's always weak or very weak for each of my pictures. But if I put an optimization by rotation only, I got a great increase. And if I put the inversion, it's even better. But there is still a problem here, because it's mathematical optimization. And I don't have the guarantee that if I take a random distribution at the beginning, and I've got a W which is as weak as here, and I apply these two equivalencies, perhaps I can have the same optimization. So this is my null hypothesis. My null hypothesis is everybody made what they wanted to do, and there is no consistency between them. And I did that a great number of times. I selected a great number of random selection. And each time I could have a W for a picture which has as weak as here, which are with my observer data, I was calculate the optimization. And if I do that, I have an histogram of W optimized, which come from a random distribution. And you can see here the red line is the W optimized, which comes from my observer's data. And if this result is on the right of my histogram, it means that they made something significant. It's not my optimization by calculation which is significant. It's my observer data. And it worked for some pictures. Here it works perfectly. And on the right it works significantly. But of course, sometimes it doesn't work. It's like that. With pictures, it's always like that. It doesn't work significantly, or it doesn't work at all. Here on the right, my observer data are just in the middle of my histogram, which comes from a random distribution. So perhaps we have to think about the task, which has been very hard for the observers, and even more for naive observers. When I was doing that with people from the laboratory, without any optimization, I had always W which were between 0.6 and 0.8. And when I take naive observers, I've got always something which is below 0.3. So it's probably too hard for them, and we could help them. For example, by taking a grayscale picture at the beginning and fix a gray level for one of the area, and ask them to change the other areas with regard to this one. And it's the equivalency. Is it probably the same thing? It's probably the same thing that my optimization by rotation, but here it will be in the experiment and not in calculation, so it would be probably better. And if I got that, I will have psychophysics data on hue. I will have psychophysics data on luminance, which comes from the first experiment. And if I can do that also with chroma, I will have psychophysics simple color appearance dimension, and we will be able to put that in model, in existing model, which are very efficient to convert color picture to grayscale picture. But here, we could improve this model with psychophysics to have something which is visually consistent, and it could be really great. So that's all. I hope it's not too weird. And if you have some questions, of course, it will be my pleasure to answer to them. Thank you.
time for one quick question. I'll make a quick comment. You could just try forced choice between images.
Forced choice between images.
Rather than allowing the observers to adjust.
Yeah, but it has already been done, actually, in the same laboratory. I think that, Graham, you showed this kind of psychophysic comparison between methods. But it's always a global transformation. When you do, usually, it's not global because there is gradient analysis, but here, there is, at the beginning, the purpose is to let total freedom to the observers.
Yeah.
So,
but
this is probably
freedom,
what is
dangerous.
Very hard for them. They are very shy, naive observers.
Okay, thank you very much. Well,